This is the Relish Podcast with Kate Stevenson.
Hi there, I'm Kate Stevenson. So this, of course, is the Relish Podcast, a celebration of all those things we love to eat, imbibe and do in this fair city and state of ours. In this episode, one of the hottest new openings in 2023 was Mornington's Cult Dining. Now, I was lucky enough to head in around a week after it opened, and it really was just a unique space with a superb food and drinks offering. Now, 2 weeks after that, the restaurant was destroyed by fire. I'll speak to chef and owner Maddie Fallon about exactly what happened and why he might finally have some reason to celebrate. Also, Joel Alderdice knows the Yarra Valley pretty well. He grew up there, he learned his craft there, and he returned there to take the helm at Tarawarra Estate, running that hatted kitchen to much acclaim. Well, now he's teaming up with local bar owner Brendan Kavanagh to open a four-seat fine diner. I'm going to get the lowdown on that from them both. And then in Eat, Drink, Do Melbourne, a reminder that Melbourne Food and Wine Festival tickets are now on sale with terrific events at BKK, Seven Seeds, Ruyi, Henry Sugar and Movida, among others. Nomad is marking Valentine's Month by celebrating their favourite producers with weekly rotating dishes and cocktails. And Melbourne is getting Tay-Tay fever, how you can enjoy brunches, cocktails and trivia nights dedicated to the songstress at places like Lona Misa, Backroom, Amphlett House, Richmond Club Hotel, Harlow, The Village Bell and others. All that is coming up on the Relish Podcast, celebrating the best in food, wine and travel for Melbourne's Easy Music 3MP.
At Easy Music 3MP, relax with us and all your favourite songs. Music means all the songs you love from the 60s, 70s and 80s. Easy Music, 3MP.
Now, back in October last year on this very podcast, I raved about a new restaurant that had opened in the main street of Mornington. Cult was just brilliant, unique. It was all down to the vision and hard work of Chef Maddie Fallon, who together with his team built a seriously impressive space and dining experience. I visited about a week after it opened, and just a couple of weeks after that, it was destroyed by fire. It's hard to imagine what that would have meant for Maddie and his staff, but I do hear on the grapevine that Cult Mark II might be on the way. That is literally as much as I know, so we better get the rest straight from the horse's mouth, excuse the pun. Maddie Fallon, welcome.
Thank you very much for having me.
Oh, no worries. Thanks for having a chat. Is it worth, can we start with the original restaurant? It was such a beautiful space. How long was that in the planning and construction for you?
The planning side, I'd been at the planning side. I was going to open the exact same concept up in Byron Bay. I was living up there for quite a while. And then my wife and I fell pregnant with twins. So we moved back to the peninsula to have them. Obviously, a bit of family support growing up down here and whatnot.
Yeah.
Pretty easy choice. Getting two for the price of one was a big change. So hightailed it back and it couldn't have worked out better. It just was sort of good. I had a lot of friends that I'd built restaurants with before, a lot of crew that I'd worked with in the past. So, and everyone was living on the peninsula. Somehow, lo and behold, it was just that sort of perfect moment in time that everyone could do it all and make it all happen. So we took the space in March of last 2023, last year, and it was, a mad dash to the finish line. And then we sort of got open for the end of September, which was always the aim. It was the start of September, but restaurants never run on time.
Yes.
But we got there in the end, and that's basically it. And then, the very short-lived, beautiful space went up in flames in October.
Oh, don't. And it did, like, it, and it was gorgeous. And I think, Maddie, when I say unique, it really was. Like, people who've had your food before will have known that the food was always going to be gorgeous. But that the design, it almost felt a little bit 70s for me, but, you know, really classily so. Is that what you were going for?
Definitely. I'm a bit of a retro nut. And like my wife and I right into mid-century and all that sort of stuff, old music, old fashioned, the rest of it. So it was definitely intentional. And I think that's sort of been an aesthetic that we've kept in the past as well. I used to have a pie shop in the city and that was very 70s inspired as well. And then the new venues are definitely going to have that same sort of little bit of flair to it as well.
Amazing. Now, the food was stupendous, and I think back to, you know, some of the best prawn toast I think I've ever had. You had a brilliant drinks list from Zach Abbott, but music was a bit of a feature too, wasn't it?
Huge feature. We had close to 5,000 records in there, so it was 4,000-something. It wasn't completely catalogued, but, yeah, from what we had for about 20-odd years of collecting records, there was all my vinyl collection, which was very broad in taste and whatnot, and very much to say reflective of, like, sort of how we cook and all that sort of thing is eclectic, for the lack of better terms.
And I guess when we think back to that night in October, how did you find out? What was sort of how was the news broken to you?
We were at middle of service.
I didn't realise.
Yeah, so it was we were just ticking over, full house. We were sort of almost booked out up until March. So we were, you know, we were sort of able to plan for it and everything like that. So we were jamming along, and all of a sudden there was water coming into the kitchen, and it was coming from the bar, and we were sort of bailing water out. We're like, oh, we're trying to find a burst pipe or anything like that. We couldn't find it anywhere. After that, we managed to cut the water off to our building, and it stopped from there. But I think we were probably an hour and a half of just getting buckets of water out and whatnot, and then nothing came of it. And then when the emergency plumber came, we'd managed to get everyone out of the restaurant by then. Funny enough, we were still sort of, you know, going down with the Titanic, so to speak. The band was still playing, sending out mains and desserts and ankle deep in water and whatnot. Strange moment in time. Oh. But so we shut down. We were all wrapped up for the evening. We managed to clean up, get out of there. We were just having a knockoff on the terrace out the front. And then the emergency plumber arrived and noticed there was like a whitish grey smoke coming through the air conditioning units. And then he said, you've got to get out of here, call the CFA. It's an electrical fire.
Oh, wow.
We ran around the kitchen, ran around the whole place sort of looking for anything that could be in our building. And everything was cold to the touch. There was no sign of any fire or anything.
Yeah.
So we evacuated, and then the fireys sort of just basically said, yeah, it's electrical fire, just sort of stay back. It should be okay. We'll get rid of it. Later on, after they'd done all the forensics and all that sort of stuff, they found out that there was, you know, a fire going inside the cavities of the concrete walls. And it would have been having to go for a few hours for it to melt the pipes and whatnot. So it was in an adjacent building to us, so we had no idea. The restaurant underneath us was flooding from the ceiling. We were coming up out of the walls and the floors and whatnot. So, no one sort of knew what was going on. And then within about, I say, 45 minutes max was when the actual fire became visible. And it was shooting out the sort of sides of the building.
Yeah.
And then there was, just absolute chaos. Fire brigade everywhere, police, all the emergency services came down, and then within the hour, the whole building was just up in flames.
Oh, Maddie, and I've seen the photos. It looked intense. What has that meant for yourself and for your staff?
For my staff, I'm incredibly lucky to have people that have stayed by my side. We all been lucky enough to get other jobs elsewhere. The community, like the greater hospitality community on the peninsula, has been reached out and, you know, put us all in jobs and that sort of thing. And we've had the support of local people in the community to sort of help us out a little bit. You know, we had a little GoFundMe for a little while that's really helped. And then we basically just decided, within a day or two, just to forge forward, not knowing what the future would hold. And then we just had a new landlord reach out and say, look, I've got a space for you if you'd like to come and check it out. We went down the next week, and then all guns blazing, we were sort of signed up and went for it.
Oh, wow. And this is it. So I saw last week that something was coming back. So what can you tell us?
I can tell you the whole lot. We've got a massive plan, so you'll have to stay tuned for the whole development. But we are retaking the space where Colt was.
Yeah.
The building has been taken down due to the amount of fire damage.
Yep.
So that's probably going to be about 18 months away until we get that going again.
Yeah.
So we've taken a spot on the Esplanade just opposite the park in Mornington there.
Nice.
And we've taken the whole floor on one end of the big residential building there. So it's we've got two concepts we're working with. And we're going to do a centralised production kitchen in there as well. So it services all three venues over the next sort of 18 months to 2 years.
Yeah.
And, you know, we've got an amazing new landlord, and our old landlord, of course, an absolute gentleman. He's just working forward to get us back in the building, get it rebuilt and go through the process together with insurance and all that sort of thing. So, but we are guns blazing now. We're literally going down to do the sign off today for the permits and everything. And we've got a liquor license. So.
All done. Maddie, how long do you think? Like when do you think opening will be?
So the first component of it is a small wine bar.
Yeah.
It'll be sort of loosely or vastly Mediterranean with a bit more playful Italian influence.
Yeah.
We're calling it Vincenzo's. It's named after my business partner's grandfather. And then we're just going to call it Vins for short.
Yeah.
Wine bar, Vins, Vine, you know, that sort of all plays into itself.
Nice.
And again, it'll be sort of 70s inspired. Definitely not the vast record collection that we once did have, but we will have like a single turntable and stick to our usual motif of groovy music and cool, fun, accessible food. And we're looking at around about sort of, we want to be open for the end of March, but realistically the way things go with restaurant builds and that sort of thing, we'd probably be aiming to be open at the latest, but mid-April.
Amazing. And so that'll be the first part. And what's the second part?
The second part is to get the production kitchen set up. So as we move back through the building, and then once that's done, that shouldn't take too long at all. It's sort of pretty plug and play. And then we are going to broaden our horizons a little bit and move into the world of fine dining. Myself and a lot of my colleagues have a lot of fine dining experience. So we're going to put a nice little 45-seat fine diner in Mornington.
Mate, tremendous. And I know this is not, you know, the biggest things that happened, but my partner and I were devastated after being down there and chatting to you about the restaurant, but also that record collection. Is there any issues with us encouraging people if they're coming down to check out Vins or the second venue with it's open, bringing a record maybe to donate so that you guys can get the music happening again?
We'd love nothing more. By all means, we can even do like a glass of wine or a starter snack sort of component or something like that to reward people coming down with fresh music for us.
Oh, I love that.
Anything would be appreciated, that's for sure.
That is so exciting. Maddie Fallon, chef and owner of Cult Dining, I am so excited that you have something rising from the ashes. I am sorry to say it. We will look out for Vins towards the end of March. I assume people can just keep following your progress on Instagram at cult_dining. Does that sound right for now?
That's correct. We're in the process of getting our socials and that sort of thing up now. So they should be up this week. So follow Cult Dining, and then you can follow on Vincenzo's from there and what's coming into the future.
It's so exciting, Maddie. I can't wait to come and visit you once you're open down there. Thank you so much for chatting with me today.
No, not a problem.
Thanks, Maddie. Don't go anywhere. Coming up, I'll speak to the guys who are opening a 4-seat fine diner in a Yarra Valley whiskey bar on Relish, celebrating the best in food, wine and travel for Melbourne's Easy Music 3MP.
This is the Relish Podcast with Kate Stephenson.
Now, if there is one chef who really knows the Yarra Valley, it has to be one of my next guests. Joel Alderdice grew up in Badger Creek. He did his apprenticeship at Healesville's Tarawarra Estate. And after working at fabulous city venues like Union Dining and leading the kitchen at uber-popular Bar Liberty, he eventually returned to head up the kitchen at Tarawarra to much acclaim. But it's his next step with a fabulous new Yarra Valley bar that has really piqued my interest. Joel Alderdice joins me now with Brendan Kavanagh, co-owner of Kavanagh's Whiskey and Ale House. Guys, welcome.
Thank you. Hello. Hi, Kate.
Now, I'm going to start. All right, so let's start, I think, with Joel, because we're talking about food and your experience in the Yarra Valley here. Joel, is it fair to say that the Yarra Valley really is in your blood?
Absolutely. It's where I went to primary school and high school, and, yeah, where I found my love of food and wine and all things beverage. So, yeah, it's definitely going to be home.
So, yep. I mean, this sounds stupid because, you know, you grew up there, you know more than the rest of us, and I didn't grow up that far away. But I think when people think about Healesville, they probably think more wines and more recently they think about gin. So what can you tell us about the produce in the area?
That's a really good question. I think there's so many great suppliers out here in the Yarra Valley and so many on the edge of the Yarra Valley as well. I like to think of Yarra Valley cuisine generally as being wine-friendly food, but yeah, the producers that stick out to me are definitely, you know, the classic, the places like Buxton Trout that have just been doing it so well for so long.
Yes.
Yarra Valley Caviar, obviously. There's been a few newer ones come along that are just world-class, like Unearthed Mushrooms. The stuff they're doing, you know, the work they put in is just so involved and so much thought put into what they grow and how they trial and error the different varieties with, you know, the different temperatures and humidity and airflow and just in general, like the super nature of the mushrooms and everything they do. It just makes my job easy. The classic, you know, cliche saying, but it's really true.
And I guess, you know, it's different for you, yeah? Like you would see things that we never would because I assume they're supplying restaurants and we rely on people like you to find them, to find out how fabulous they are and put them on menus.
Yeah, and I think it's important to see places like Unearthed Mushrooms. The varieties you see are so different to what you see in the supermarkets or what you used to that you don't actually need to treat them all the same as you've always treated mushrooms, and the flavour profiles and smells are so unique that, you can sort of appreciate them for the individual varieties rather than just a generic mushroom flavour. And we're also, we're going to feature some cheese from local cheesemaker Jack Holman from Stone and Crow. So he's actually going to do a exclusive cheese for us, which we're excited about, some halloumi that he's going to make for us. So we're still deciding how we're going to treat that. But I think somewhere along the lines of definitely gooey with whiskey and honey. We'll see where that goes.
I love it. So you're giving us a hint there of what's to come. I'm going to jump to Brendan because I hope you forgive me when I say when we think Healesville, we do generally think wine or gin. I fell off my chair when I found out there's actually a fabulous whiskey bar there. How long has Kavanagh's Whiskey and Ale House been open?
Yeah, great point. So October 2022. We officially opened here in Hillsborough.
A while.
Yeah, so about a year and a couple of months now. So it all came out of exactly what you said. My wife and I moved here end of 2020 and loved the town, was working in around the valley and went, well, we've got plenty of great gin, we've got great wine, a couple of breweries. So if you want a cheeky dram of whiskey, there was a couple of little options and some other places like Paint and Jones that had a good lineup, but nowhere that was sort of, you know, dedicated whiskey, and I thought, maybe it's crazy enough, it might just work.
Right, so you've got down the road an extremely well-regarded chef who's doing brilliant things, and I think what Danny Valent called one of the prettiest dishes in Victoria. What have you convinced him to do?
Well, it's actually the other way around. So I've been picking Joel's brain because we've been wanting to, because we had the old kitchen out the back, so it had a great range hood, it had the bones there, it'd become a storeroom. And for Kaz, we were thinking of, you know, kicking off food in the new year. So I was picking Joel's brain about, you know, what we could do with the space in terms of, you know, doing food for Kaz. And then a couple of months later, I think it's the day after my birthday, he shoots me a message and goes, hey, mate, I've got a crazy idea. Let's grab a beer. My stupid response was, grabbing a beer is not such a crazy idea, man. He's like, no, I've got a crazy idea I need to talk about. Let's grab a beer. I'm like, oh, okay. And that's where he drops it on me. Hey, how about I come across and do food for Cavs and set up a four-person restaurant in the kitchen? And my initial response was, hell yeah. And then, all right, let's figure out how we make that happen.
Right. So four seats, Joel. Holy moly. How does that work? How many sittings a night or how many courses are these four people going to enjoy?
Well, I'd like to start by saying we could probably squeeze five if you're friends.
You're all mates.
But yeah, we're going to do two sittings a night to begin with, and just see how that goes. We want everyone to have a great time in there and to feel like they've got their own kitchen table restaurant for a night. So I don't want to just push people through too quickly. We want it to be really special for people. And yeah, whether it's two twos, a group of four, we find that most people are booking for four because everyone's got a few friends.
Yeah, you want to enjoy it with someone. Yeah.
Yeah, and you want to having a restaurant to yourself is really, really special, I think. And two twos is fine too. Everyone can make new friends and interact with me, and yeah, we can have a fun night together still. But yeah, however it comes about, it's just, I think it's going to be quite unique.
Amazing. And so this is a space, is it kind of a space at the back of the bar? Is it, you know, is it partitioned off or?
Yeah, so you walking into Kavanagh's, it's the seating at the front. There's also, you know, a big open space inside, and then you walk in, you're looking at a whiskey wall. Whiskey and bourbon and, you know, mezcals, gins, there's a bunch of stuff. but basically exactly behind the bottles is where the restaurant is. So we've put a hole through the wall, and it's going to be the same music coming through. The Tim Kavanaghs, hopefully a little bit of the bustle and vibe without sort of being too intense, a bit more, you know, a bit more secluded and special, but still with the same rock and roll and blues playlist. And
not going to sound like a day
bar. It'll still be very risky. It'll be very fun. What you'll be eating and drinking will be a little bit more sort of thoughtful and refined. But yeah, definitely the still vibe of Kavanaghs. It's still the fun, welcoming sort of good time.
All right, love it. You had me at Whiskey Wall. Brendan, are you in charge of matching the drinks?
Yeah, absolutely. I think he is. What are we talking about? So we'll have a couple of options for people. Kind of choose your own adventure. We do the same thing out the front of Kaz where we don't have a set whiskey paddle. I like to kind of take people on their own journey based on what their go-to is. And that's our first question we ask when people go, hey, do you do a whiskey paddle? Or what would you recommend? It's like, well, what's your go-to? Where's the starting point? We take people on a journey a little bit, you know, hopefully beyond what they came in being comfortable with, and they walk out going, oh, I never thought I'd try something from, like, India or Sweden, you know. And it'll be the same out the back. If they want to do a whiskey pairing, absolutely, we can do that for the whole night. If they want to do a cocktail, no worries. We can work that on the fly, and then even non-alcoholic cocktails as well. And then Mike, who owns the Reef Wine Store across the road, because we're so limited with space here, we don't have the room for a full cellar. So Mike from Marie's wine store there, he's been kind enough to give us the keys there, and he's going to curate a bit of a list for us of some cool back vintage Yarra Valley stuff and everything. So we'll be able to kind of, you know, if people want a nice wine, we can go, all right, do you want the short list or the long list? But one's going to be as long as War and Peace, and one's going to be, you know, a little bit more tailored to the food as well. So we'll be able to give people a really good wide array depending on what they're after, and tailoring it to that.
Oh, phenomenal. And if people can't nab a seat at Emerald City, can they still get into Cavs for a snack? Will that be an option down the track? Will there be a bit of a bar menu?
Yeah. So there's going to be a bar menu. Joel and I were just talking about this just before we go. So the goal will be, we'll be doing gourmet pies and then also share boards as well, which John can probably speak to a little bit more. And that'll be, you know, hope from day dot is what we're aiming for as well. So we'll be able to get food here. At Cavs, we don't take bookings. It's just first in, best dressed, which, you know, has its own pros and cons of chaos, but everyone likes to roll. Everyone's welcome. So we, you know, we'll make space where we can.
Oh, mate, guys, I could talk about this all day. We will need to go. Can you tell me, though, when does it all start? It sounds like you're already taking bookings, yeah?
So we've got a wait list going now. If people email info@emeraldcityhillsville.com. We're just taking a wait list for the restaurant at the back for Emerald City. And then once we've got official sign-off on the kitchen, we'll be able to launch with an official date, and people on the wait list will get first dibs on booking.
Right. Joel Alderdice, chef and co-founder of Emerald City Healesville, Brendan Kavanagh, owner of Kavanagh's Whiskey and Ale House, and of course, co-founder with Joel of Emerald City. This sounds so exciting, both for locals as well as those visitors, people who love to visit the Yarra Valley. I cannot wait to see it. At least come and taste a whiskey with you guys. We'll encourage people to follow your progress on Instagram, I think is the easiest way at the moment, at emeraldcity.healesville, and also make sure you check out at Kavanagh's Whiskey Ale House. Thank you so much for speaking to me today, guys.
Thanks, Kate. I really appreciate it. Thanks, Kate.
Thank you both. Stick around. Eat, Drink, Do Melbourne still to come, with plenty of ideas to keep you satiated on Relish, celebrating the best in food, wine and travel for Melbourne's Easy Music 3MP.
For lovers of easy music, it all adds up. With 3MP and crystal clear stereo right across Melbourne. There to make a better, clearer sound for you to enjoy your easy music favourites. Upgrade your radio to DAB Plus and change the way you listen to Easy Music 3MP. Find out more at 3mp.com.au.
All right, it's that time I get to share some news and ideas on what to eat, drink and do in Melbourne. Starting with eating, and the biggest food news of the last fortnight surely was the full release of the Melbourne Food and Wine Festival program. and early pre-sale tickets for those smart enough to subscribe. You can grab tickets now. There are far too many events to mention, but it is worth a peruse before some of those book out. I would say maybe consider things like the Thai Chinese Feast with New South Wales Police Sir Anderson at BKK in the city. I've bought myself tickets to enjoy the fabulous food of Italian chef Sarah Ciccolini from Santa Palato in Rome. She'll be at Seven Seeds in Carlton. Modern CBD Chinese Ruyi is celebrating the joy of soy. Carlton North's Henry Sugar Bar are hosting a party with an oyster bar, prawns on the barbie, house-made sausages, think beetroot morcilla sausages. And wine importers the Spanish Acquisition are helping Frank Camorra mark 20 years of Movida. Before all that happens in March, though, you'll have the whole month of February to head into City Dining Room Nomad as they make it Valentine's Month by celebrating all the local producers they love. Here in Melbourne, they'll work with their favourite suppliers to bring guests a series of rotating dishes and cocktails each week. So this week, from Friday the 9th of Feb, it'll be baked ricotta from Thomastown-based Floridia cheese with wood-roasted peppers and ortiz anchovies. Next week, wood-roasted Padron peppers from Romara Farm stuffed with cottuccino sausage, yummo. And they'll see out the month with smoked wagyu ribs from David Blackmore and Alexandra. Head to nomad.melbourne for all the details, and there you'll also see the cocktails they'll be doing each week too. And to drink or do, bit of both really, to be honest, well, if you are doing the biggest gig in town, which seems to be everybody but me, let's face it, and you really want to get into the spirit in the lead up or on those concert nights, there are plenty of venues around Melbourne who are ready and willing to help you celebrate Taylor Swift. Avolo Hotel's popular venues, Lona Mesa, Backroom Bar and Amphlett House, will feature special Tay-Tay-inspired cocktails or mocktails as well. There'll be a special menu at each from Monday the 12th through to the Saturday night. So think drinks like a fruity French blonde or a glitzy champagne problems that has real gold glitter in it. Alternatively, you could try Taylor Trivia each night from the 12th to the 14th upstairs at the Richmond Club Hotel. There'll be a Taylor Drag Bottomless Brunch and Trivia at Richmond's Harlow Bar on Saturday the 17th and Sunday the 18th of Feb. Or all the way over in St Kilda at the Village Bell, they're hosting a Decades Brunch on the Saturday. So there'll be hits from all her albums over the decades, 2 hours of bottomless booze and some brunch dishes for $65. And that is it for this episode of Relish. Don't forget, you can contact me anytime. Just a quick email to relish@3mp.com.au. But this has been Relish, celebrating the best in food, wine and travel for Melbourne's Easy Music, 3MP.
You've been listening to the Relish Podcast with Kate Stevenson.